he got to his place of blessing. And I believe there's not only physical blessings, but praise God, there are other blessings, spiritual blessings as well. And speaking of blessings, I heard about a man that was walking by the beach one day, and an angel appeared before him. And the angel said to the man, said, "What would you like? Whatever you would like, I'll grant your request." The man said to the angel, said, "You know what? I've always wanted to go to Hawaii." How many have ever been to Hawaii? Let me see your hand. He said, "I always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I've never been to Hawaii." And he said, "You know, I really would like to go to Hawaii." The angel said, "But have you considered how long Hawaii is?" And he said, the man said, "Well, I don't want to fly, and I don't want to go in a boat. I would love to be able to drive to Hawaii," said to the angel. The angel said, "But have you considered how deep the ocean is? Do you realize how far that would be to build a road from to Hawaii?" He said, not a good request. He said, "Do you have another request?" And the man said, well, he scratches it. He said, "You know what? I've been married for a while." And he said, "I'll tell you another request I would like. I would like to be able to understand my wife. I'd like to understand women." He said, "I'd really like to understand what makes them cry, what makes them laugh, their moods, their dispositions. I'd like to understand women." The angel looked at him and said, how big a road you want, 2-lane or 4-lane to Hawaii?" Not a good request. Anyway, take your Bibles and turn, please, to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. The Old Testament Numbers. There are two steps that God put in my heart to put in your heart. Two steps that you need to take today in order to get to your place of blessing. Two steps. And we're looking at this passage of Scripture in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Stand to your feet, please. If you're able, if you're not, that's fine. But we're reading in Numbers chapter 13. You're well aware of the fact that God has miraculously, supernaturally delivered his people out of Egypt. They had been in bondage for 430 years. And now he's promising to lead them to their place of blessing. A land that's flowing full of milk and honey. A land where there'll be giants, but yet they can go and conquer the land. And we pick up in Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers 13, if you're there, say amen, would you? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of the fathers shall send you shall send a man, every one a ruler among them." Let me back up and just stop and say, as we read just a moment, that the children of Israel were at a strategic place, a place called Kadesh Barnea. And then Moses says, "I'm going to send out men to spy out the land so that you can conquer this place of blessing." What is your place of blessing? Listen, beloved, let's don't just go through the motions. Listen, beloved, let's don't just have our heads stuck in the sand. Listen, my dear Christian friend, let's be proactive about the will of God. Let's cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God. Let's see God do the much more in our lives. Let's don't be satisfied with the status quo. Let's don't just be content with the minimum of the Christian life. But I've got good news for you. God's got much more for you, and he's got much more for me. As a church, New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, I don't think we even reached where all God wants to take us. Do you believe that? I just don't believe it. I don't believe that we've even seen we hadn't even seen actually what all God can do and what all God will do. One person said amen. I'm telling you, church, that we need to get stirred up today and need to say, "Lord, you're a big God. You're a great God. You have got the much more for us." And I don't know about you, whether the majority of the people do or not, remain to be seen. But you can in your life, and you can in your Christian pilgrimage, and you can understand that God's got a place of blessing for you. So, having said that, I'm going to pick up back in the text in verse number 25. Look over there, please, in verse 25. And so, children of Israel have been sent out. They've been sent out to the land. And now we come to verse 25. "And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. That is, they brought back the evidence. And then verse 26, 28, nevertheless, look at this, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. I love verse 30, underline it, mark it. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I like that kind of terminology, don't you? I like that Canaan land talk, don't you? I like a Christian that says, bless God, the majority might want to be complacent, and the majority of America might be whining and complaining about our ills in this nation, but thank God, one plus God's majority. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. It just takes a spark to cause a fire to burn. It just takes one like a David to kill a giant. It just takes somebody like Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. It just takes a godly daddy who'll stand for righteousness that'll make a difference in his generation and the generation to come. It just takes a mama who sold out to God that she might pour in her family. I'm telling you, praise God. It just takes a person on a neighborhood to say, I'm not going to let my neighbors die and go to hell. It just takes one man or one woman or one young person, one teenager to say, I'm not just going to go and have sex and drink and go to the parties and hang out like everybody else does. I'm going to make a difference, and thank God. I'm telling you, the Lord said, you can and I can get to our place of blessing. But wait a minute. Read verse 31 with me, please. But look at this. After Caleb said, we're able to overtake it. Let's go take it. Look at verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not be able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Don't you love being around people that are negative? Don't you love being around people that doubt? Don't you love being around people that don't believe God? No, that's sarcastic. Why, you don't love that? Why, you need to feel your faith today. You need to feed your faith today. We need to trust in Jesus with all of our heart. And then look at verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up with inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. That is, they're two men's height. That is, they're tall. That is, they're big men in this land. And then look at verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, as little bitty insects. We felt like a nobody. We were so feeling a poor self-image, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We were as sight in their sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. God bless this word to our heart today. God stretch us on out to your place of blessing. Now then, let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful word of God. I praise you for the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I bless you, Lord, that you saved me by your marvelous power. Lord, you rescued my lost soul, and you brought my feet out of the miry clay, planted them on the solid rock. And I thank you, Lord, for every blood-bought, blood-washed child of God here today. I pray, God, you'll help us to see heaven's vision. Lord, you'll stretch us. Lord, you'll move us. Lord, you'll thrust us out in the highways and hedges and go out with the song in our heart. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Lord, carrying forth the sharp two-edged sword. Lord, we thank you that the time is drawing near. And Lord, I pray now that whatever battles those that are here this morning, whatever the place of blessing is for them, Father, give them eyes to see it with the eye of faith. Give them a heart to believe our God. Father, we ask you for the exchange. Exchange our doubt for your faith. Lord, exchange our our short-sightedness for heaven's vision. And we thank you now and praise you, our God, that, Lord, you don't want to leave us as we are. You want to, God, our Father, do the maximum in our lives. So, Father God, take us today. Conform us today. Cleanse us today. Wash us today. Fill us today. Anoint us now, precious Lord. Anoint us, God. Stir our hearts. God, help us to rise above our circumstances in the name of Jesus and through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And I thank you now for that person that, Lord, you're speaking to now, that, Lord, they realize you've got much more, and that Lord, the eye have not seen, nor the ear heard, nor the inner of the heart of man. But the Lord, you said to Paul, you promised to them that love you, and we love you, Lord, because you loved us first. I pray as a church, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, you'll, God, raise up some more men of God who have full of faith and full of Holy Ghost power and full of a burden for the lost and full, our God, our Father, of Lord, unifying under the Lordship of Christ. You'll raise up more, our God, soul winners. You'll raise up more reinforcements to help us to carry the good news in this troubling community of ours, in this world of confusion. And Father, we just ask now that you'll help us to be faithful. Oh, God, help us to be faithful until you call us home. And we thank you now for victory in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. There are two steps that you need to take and I need to take today that God put on my heart. Two steps that you need to take and I need to take today that can bring you into your place of blessing. Number one, the first step is this: overcoming the giants of opposition. Overcoming the giants of opposition. And number two, the second step is this: overcoming the giants with resolution. Number one, we can get to our place of blessing if we will overcome the giants of opposition. And if you'll notice again in the text, first of all, there were three giants the Lord spoke to my heart about that you're facing today. I said, you're facing today. I said, these giants, no doubt, you are facing today. And I'm facing them today too. And these giants are found in verse 30 through 31 through 33. Again, read with me the text, 31 through 33. Here it is. Giants of opposition. Don't you understand, my brother and sister, that the devil doesn't want you to get to your place of blessing. And the devil's going to try everything he can to get you from to your place of blessing. The devil wants you to go to one conference like up there and just get a little goosebumps and just get a little happy and go out to the mall and feel like you've done something and come back home and get back to the old complacent self you're in. But I want you to know, God don't want you to leave you like that. God wants to build on what He's done last night and yesterday, and that this will be a lifestyle of evangelism, not just something you do in March, not just something you do to dare to share, but praise God, a daily living and walking and sharing the good news. Somebody talk to me. You say, but nobody else is doing it. It don't matter if anybody else is doing it or not. If God's called you to do it, you ought to do it. That's our problem. We look around and say, well, nobody else is doing it. Praise God. Guess what? When I stand before Jesus, I'm not going to have to count for nobody else. I'm going to have to count for me. And you're going to have to count for you. And so it don't matter what anybody else is doing. What matters is what you're doing and what I'm doing. And if I'm not doing what I ought to be doing, God help me to do what I ought to be doing. Amen and amen and amen. Look at this. Their opposition. The giants of opposition. Look at it. Chapter 13 and verse number 31. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able. Look at that. Underline that. We are not able. How many like to say that? We are not able. That don't sound like faith to me. But we be not able to go up against the people, for they are, look at verse 31, they are stronger, they're stronger than we are. Well, how do you know that? They just look that way. And then look at verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land eaten up, the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. There are three giants that God showed me that you are facing today. Three giants. Are you ready for them? If you are, say amen. Are y'all awake today? How many of us could use one more hour of sleep this morning? Can I get an amen? I understand. I know how you feel. But press on anyway, child of God. Amen. Because today you can take a nap. Number one, the first giant that you face is the giant of fear. The giant of fear. And that's found in verse 31. The giant of fear. The second giant that you must face and must conquer is a giant of not only fear, but a giant of failure. That's found in verse 32. And then thirdly, there's a third giant that we face that keeps us from getting to our place of blessing. Oh, you're not going to get that job. You're never going to meet the right person. You're never going to get out of debt. These are giants that we have got to face. First, there's the giant. You're never going to be healed. You're always going to be like that. The giant of fear. Did you notice what they said? They said two things that stood out to me in verse 31. Number one, they said, we are not able. We be not able. We're not able to do it. Now get the picture. Moses sent them out. These 12 spies, 40 days they spied out the land. By the way, God said, I've already given you the land. Well, they were all excited about it, and they were all happy about it. But when they got in the land, they walked by sight instead of by faith. I'm preaching to somebody right there. You've been walking by sight instead of by faith. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Let's say that together. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. And so often we want to say, well, if I can figure it out and I can get out my pen and paper, I can figure all this stuff out from my finite human viewpoint, then I think I'll do it. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm not saying we shouldn't use rational, but I'm saying when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it with us or without us, whether we can figure it out or we can't figure it out. The fact is, when we can figure it out, oftentimes we rob him of glory, and God wants to get the glory. Amen and amen and amen. That's the reason a lot of times we aren't doing more in the kingdom of God, perhaps, or we aren't at our place of blessing, perhaps. It's because we are doubting and doing without. God wants to get glory. Sometimes, how many know that sometimes there's only some things that only God can do, and God wants to do it, and God wants to get the glory for it. Why, if we could figure it out, and if we could depend on the arm of flesh, and if we could do it in our own might, in our own power, in our own strength, we wouldn't give God the glory, but we'd rob him of glory. So God's saying there's some stuff I can only do that you can't do, but I'm going to use you, and you got to trust me that I'll take you to the place of blessing, and you're going to watch me do it. You're going to stand back and say, wow, God, you're a great God, a mighty God. How many believe that God's a great God and a mighty God? Yes, he is. And so there's the giants of fear. Do you see what they said? They said, we're not able. Well, last time I read it, we're not able, but thank God God's able. If God be for us, who can be against us? The last time I read it, it said, I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ that strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. He didn't say, I can do all things by myself. I can do all things if I lean on the arm of flesh. I can do all things when I trust in my own wisdom and my own intellect. He said, I didn't come to you with wisdom of men, that your faith should rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Folks, listen to me. There comes a point in time in our life, in our Christian pilgrimage, where we got to get out of ourselves and get into the realm of spirituality where God's at. And I'm not talking about some mystical, magical thing. I'm talking about the Christian life. The Christian life's a life of exchange, like that young boy I told you about, Kyle McDonald. He exchanged that red gym clip for those 14 exchanges. I'm glad to tell you, praise God, that I can exchange my sins for the death of Jesus, and my sins can be forgiven, and then I can exchange my doubt for his faith. Lord, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Is there anybody here today that you've been having a hard time believing God? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hey, listen, the giants of we're not able. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I said, we're not able. Listen to me now. We're not able. You know what the problem is? The problem is, we're saying, watch this now. See, if you agree with me, the problem is we're saying, Lord, look who I am. Look who I am.
When God tells you to do something, well, if God wants you to go witness to your neighbor or witness to somebody, and you say, well, I'm just afraid what they might say, or I don't know what I'm going to say, or God tells you, he moves on your heart to give something or to do something, and then you just begin to make excuses like we all do. And so we say, but look who I am. Look what I don't have a lot of resources, Lord, and look who I am. Can I suggest to you, instead of saying, look who I am, we ought to be saying, look whose I am. Look whose I am. Wait a minute, you missed that. Because if you miss that, you missed everything. We're so self-centered when it comes to the Christian life. And if we don't break out of the shell of our abilities and our resources, then we'll never experience God out here, because we're so short-sighted, depending on what we can do and our abilities and our resources. And this is what we've been able to do in the past. God's saying, wait a minute, there comes a step of faith here. There comes a place where you got to break out of that, I am not able, but God with you, I can do all things. Look who I am in Christ Jesus. I have all and abound in him. In him I make complete. In him I have been made accepted and beloved. In him I've been chosen. In him I've been made accepted again. And in him I live and move and have my being. It's not who you are, it's whose you are, child of God. I want to say it again in case you didn't get it. It's not who you are, it's not who I am, it's whose we are. We are children of the living God. We are blood bought and blood washed. We have been redeemed by the blood. Thank God we've been adopted in the family of God. It's not who we are, it's whose we are. We are God's children. We are, we are co-laborers together with God. It's God's work. It's God's kingdom. It's God's glory. It's God's church. It's all about him. Amen and amen and amen. It's about him. 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 It's about Jesus. Can't say that enough. These giants of fear. Look, he said, we're not able. Number two, notice what they said. They said, they're stronger. Verse 31. We're not able. We've spied the land. Here's the fruit to prove it. Look at all this luscious fruit. Man, it's flowing full of milk and honey. And here's all these grapes. And here's all this pomegranates. And here's all these good looking fruit that you said was there. But we're not able to take it. We're not stronger than they are. What was the problem? They had a fear failure. They had a fear failure. I heard about a man speaking of fear that went to the doctor. He said, Doc, he said, man, I'm having a terrible time. He said, I'm having a terrible time. I'm not only afraid, he said, but I'm getting forgetful minded. I'm getting forgetful minded. He said, the doctor said, but he said, Doc, I can't sometimes remember where I parked my car. How many know what I'm talking about? You go out to the parking lot and you look, well, where did I park my car? You can find out if you hit that button and the horn starts blowing, amen. You'll find out then. But anyway, he said, I'm having a hard time remembering where I parked my car. I'm having a hard time remembering if I'm going after something in the kitchen, in the refrigerator, or I just put something. I'm having a hard time remembering. He said, Doc, what should I do? The doc said, pay in advance. Pay in advance first. That's the first thing you need to do. But wait a minute. They're giants of the land. Giants of fear. Giants of fear. I did hear about a little girl that was afraid of the dark. How many of you are afraid of the dark? How many are afraid of these voices that come to you at night? Rebuke them in the name of Jesus. If it's not of God, it's of Satan. That ought to help somebody. It ought to help some parents around here. Ought to help some grandparents around here. I would encourage you, go in that child's room and you just ask God to clear, put the blood of the Lamb of God over that room and over those children and over the door and over their bed and over them. You go over there and do it often. Why? Because Satan has no place, no power, no authority in our homes. Jesus is Lord. And this thing of spiritual warfare, it's not for babies. I mean, we're talking about serious business here. Fear. This one girl, she was afraid of the dark. She said, Mama, I'm afraid of the dark. I can't go to sleep. And she said, what should I do? And the mama said, honey, she said, I don't know. You don't have to be afraid of the dark. You don't have to be afraid and fearful. And then all of a sudden, it dawned on the little girl. The little girl said, Mama, let me ask you this. Mama, does Jesus ever go to sleep? And mama said, no, honey. He never goes to sleep. Jesus don't sleep. He stays up all night long. Aren't you glad he stays up all night long? where some folks can get some sleep. Hello. Hey. Anyway, the girl said this. She said, well, if he's going to stay up all night long, no need for me to stay up all night long. I'm going to go to sleep. Just go and go to sleep. Fear. Number one, we've got to overcome the giants of opposition. The first giant is the giant of fear. The second giant is the giant of failure. Failure. Look at verse 32. Read verse 32 with me. He said, this crowd said they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land for which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up with inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. That is, they're twice the size of any ordinary man. They're tall. And we are not able to overcome it. There's the giant of fear. The giant of failure. The giant of failure. All of us have failed at some point in time in our life. And I'm convinced if the devil has his way, he'll knock us out of the battle. Keep us from our place of blessing. I've never been able to do this, and I've never been able to graduate from school, and I've never been able to make A's in my classroom, and I've never been able to do this and that. I heard about a young boy that came home. His daddy said, son, if you will make good grades on your report card, bring home a good report, make all A's in school, I will give you $20. $20. So the boy came home one day from school, and he said, walked in the door and said, Dad, I got good news. Dad said, what, son? He said, Dad, I got good news. I saved you $20. Failure. Do you ever feel like a failure? We got to overcome the giants of failure. Why me, Lord? It's not about you. It's not about who you are. It's about whose you are. It's a joy to serve the Lord, isn't it? It's a joy to serve the Lord, isn't it? Isn't it an absolute miracle that God would choose any of us? And yet he does. What a privilege. What life's highest privilege to serve our King. Somebody should say amen. Amen. Wow. What a privilege. God could have bypassed you. He could have bypassed me, but he didn't. Does that mean something to you? I said, does that mean something to you? Doesn't that make you say hallelujah? I'm special. God chose me. I didn't choose him. The fear of failure, the fear of forgetfulness. Number three, the fear of forgetfulness. Do you see verse 33? The fear of not only fear of the giant and failure, but the last giant is that of forgetfulness. Look at verse 33 of chapter 13. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, or Anak as some called, which come of the giants. We were on our own side as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. God's going to bring you a place of blessing. Don't forget what God's done. Where has God taken you from thus far? Can you look back on your life and say, yeah, I can look at the past and see how good God's been, how God supplied the needs? Don't forget the blessings of the Lord. And so God had to remind Israel. I fear my brother and my sister. I do. I really fear this. It's so easy for us to forget answered prayer, isn't it? Last week, God answered prayer. Last week, God answered our prayer. Last week, God brought in some resources. Last week, God supernaturally opened up the winds of heaven and poured out an answer. And then next thing you know, it's this week, we forgot all about it. Well, I'm thinking about this and this and this. I forget about what was there. I forget about all the ways God has been good to me and how God has blessed and how God's answered prayer. We've got spiritual amnesia. We forget too easily. And that's why Moses and the son has had to remind Israel over and over again. Hey, look, Israel, don't forget God. Don't forget the blessings of God. If we're going to get to our place of blessing, we dare not forget how God has fought some battles. You'd think this crowd right here would say, you know what? We were in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. And you'd think they'd say, you know what? There was a Pharaoh that rose up that knew not Joseph. And you'd think this crowd would say, you know what? I remember our forefathers and our parents and how we cried to God. We asked him to deliver us. We asked him to take us to a place of blessing. Oh, no, they forgot it. You'd think that they'd remember how the Lord opened up the Red Sea and brought them through safely on dry land, only to swallow Pharaoh. No, they didn't remember. They forgot it so easily. And then you think how the Lord provided water for them and manna for them and how God just supernaturally sustained them. No, they forgot it. Listen, the average Christian is so prone. We, you and I, are so prone and just so guilty, if you will, of forgetting the blessings of God and forgetting how good God's been, forgetting some of the battles God's fought in your life and how God has opened doors and how God has healed your body. Oh my, we could have a testimony time this morning. So there's this giant of forgetfulness. We as a church can look back and see great things God has done and look forward to great things God is going to do. But it's going to require faith. It's not just going to happen. We can be like these 10 men to come back. Well, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this and that and the other. And I don't know. And you know, that crowd ended up wandering the wilderness 40 years. Never did see Canaan. Never did get to their place of blessing. Why? They didn't believe God. They didn't believe God. And you as a Christian, you might be going to heaven. Hallelujah. I rejoice with you. But until you really exercise genuine faith in Jesus, you will never experience his resurrection power. You will never experience victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm not talking about and advocating sinless perfection. But I am saying this, there's a place where we can get to in our life where God begins to manifest his glory in our life, and he begins to reveal his son in us and through us, and he puts us in a realm of where it's no longer I, but it's Christ that lives in them, and he can bring us to a place where we can enjoy the spirit-filled life, not the flesh-filled life, not the life of depression and the life of guilt and the life of condemnation and the life of discouragement. But God Almighty is able to bring you and you and you and you and you into a place of victory. How many want to get to that place? Well, glory, I do too. I say, God, please, we can, Lord, bring us to the place of blessing. Speaking of forgetful-mindedness, I heard about two sisters that were taking care of a farm. And they weren't too bright, but they were taking care of the farm. They had inherited this farm, and they'd gotten down to $600. That's all they had. And so they said, we're going to have to do something here quick. And so they found out that a farm off in another state was selling a bull. They said, well, what we're going to do, we need to go and check on that bull and see if we can buy that bull and breed that bull. We've got some cows here, and if we don't do something, this farm is sunk. We're going under. And so one of the sisters said to the other sister, said, I tell you what, you stay here. I'm going to ride over there and look at that bull, and I'm going to ask that farmer if I can buy that bull for under $600. And if I do get that bull and get that deal, then I'm going to want you to come over with the truck and with a trailer, pick up the bull, and then take it back to the farm. Got it? Got it. And so one of the sisters went over to the farm over in the other state. And saw the bull, and the man that had the bull, the farmer, said, I'll take $599 for that bull. And she said, wow, praise God, I've got $600, that's all I've got. He said, I'll take $599, nothing less. She said, here it is. That gave her $1. She went running back down to the store to send a message to her sister. And she went to the store, found out the store, said, we're going to charge you $1 a word. She's going to send a message to her sister to bring the trailer, bring the truck, and come pick up the bull, take it back to the farm. So, but little did she know, she had $1. And they said, all you can send is one word, for $1 back to your sister. What will it be? The sister thought for a moment. She said, I tell you what I want to do. I want you to send the word comfortable. C-O-M-F-O-R-T-A-B-L-E, comfortable. And the man said, wait a minute, you got a bull, you're getting a bull, you're getting this, you need your sister to bring the trailer, you need her to bring the truck to pick up this bull. What? How in the world is she going to figure all this out with one word, comfortable? She said, you don't know my sister. She'll read this word real slow, comfortable, 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 comfortable. You'll get it later, amen, come for the bull. Oh, God help us. Number two, and I'll be done, and it's this. Number two, overcoming the giants of one opposition. But secondly, overcoming the giants with resolution. I'll be done. My time's almost gone. Look at verse 31 or verse 30. Overcoming giants with resolution. Watch this. I love this. Verse 30. And Caleb, Caleb steal the people, before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I like this man, Caleb. I like that kind of talk. Man, praise God, Caleb. Now, he could easily have gone with the other 10 who brought back a negative report. You know, that's sad indictment on the average church today. There's so much negative talk about in churches, and man, it can spread gossip. And can I just make a suggestion? Hadn't thought about it until just now. Instead of speaking a negative word, let's speak a good word for Jesus. Amen. Speak a good word. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Don't spread any negative talk out in the community. Hey, they hear that trash all the time. If you can't say something good about the Lord, or good about the church, just don't say anything at all. He'll be a lot better off. And God will get glory. People just want to pick up dirt. They're like a vacuum cleaner. They just want to pick up dirt. And so don't let the devil use you as someone spreading dirt. Just zip it up and just don't say anything at all. Pray about it. Amen. Pray about it. But here, and I'll be done. Three places that Caleb came to. He came to the promise. He came to the problem, but he came to the provision. He came to the promise. He realized that God said, I'm going to take you into Canaan land. He saw God Almighty, realized that God was well able. The promise. When God gives you a promise, he's going to fulfill his promise. And so, and the 10 said nay, and the 10 came back with a bad report. Their eyes were on the giants. But Caleb, they said, man, we look like little grasshoppers in their sight. We're so small. You know, God has done some wonderful things in our lives and in the church life. And you think that through all the faith builders, the things God's done in our life, you'd think that, man, we'd be slaying a bunch of giants. Amen. But for some reason or another, we're in the flesh. And for some reason or another, we have a difficulty here. The promise, the problem, that they're not going to get this thing handed to them on a silver platter. Hear me now. Listen, don't miss this. Your place of blessing, it might come, and more than likely it will come, with a fight. They didn't just get to walk into Canaan land and said, oh boy, here we are. They had to drive out the inhabitants of the land. And it comes with a fight. Sometimes your blessing, you're going to have to fight the world. You're going to have to fight the flesh. You're going to have to fight the devil. You're going to have to fight your own self, doubting God. He came to the place of promise and then the problems, but then came the provision. Now I'm going to close with this. My time's gone. Caleb, I can see him 45 years old at this time. He said, man, I'm going to believe God. God always honors faith. If you want to impress God, start believing God. Without faith, it's impossible. Believe God. Every case in the scripture where people believe God, Jesus said, man, I have not seen such great faith, no, not all of Israel. Caleb, I can see him. As you stand to your feet.